Okay, this is exciting. We now have the chance to hear from Jerry Jump, and she will be talking about moving production in-house.
Okay, I want to apologize in advance. I just realized that I didn't turn my cell phone off, and my bag is up there in the top row. So if my cell phone goes off, I'm so sorry. I can't turn it off. I'm really happy to be here with you all today to talk about one of my favorite subjects. This is the Family History Archive Collection, and I'm going to talk about moving the production in-house. I'm here from the Family and Church History Department. First, I'm going to give you a short introduction about the collection. In 2004, a joint pilot project between the Family History Library and the BYU Harold B. Lee Library began. The purpose of the project was to digitize 5,000 books from the Family History Library and make them available on the internet, free to the public. The advantages of having the family histories available on the internet far outweighed some of the alternatives for obtaining them. Of course, the Family History Library is dedicated to helping people around the world finding their ancestors, and they want to provide this information free to the public. We hoped that the pilot would be a success and that we could learn enough from the pilot to go and digitize many, many more books from the Family History Library collection. In 2006, the project was completed. We put up 5,000 books, and the project was deemed a success. Throughout my presentation, I've included several images from the collection. Every image that you see is from the collection. So my hope is that you'll see that it's rich in both photos, and I can promise you that the text is very rich as well. The books in the collection are fully text-searchable PDF files. They are displayed in one-page increments for speed of delivery over the internet, and there is also a printing PDF at the bottom of this menu or digital table of contents. Sometimes there are multiple parts to the printing PDF because there are so many pages in the book, and the PDFs get too big to distribute over the internet if we put them all in one. The books are displayed in ContentDM, which is a digital management software. It's what the Harold B. Lee Library uses for its online collections. The ContentDM viewer is a library standard, and it's now owned by OCLC. ContentDM uses the Acrobat engine. With these books, we include a lot of metadata, which is available from the document description screen. Notice here the Adobe Acrobat toolbar. Now we're going to talk about the present. The Family History Library has approximately 126,000 English titles. They add about 1,800 a year. These come largely from donations. They also have additional family histories in several languages. The books are located on the shelves in the Family History Library, and the microfilms are located in the Granite Mountain Vault. Because of the success of the pilot project, we decided to set up a digitizing process in-house. In-house meaning in-house at the Family History Library organization, not in the building per se. In addition, we believed that if we could set up a digitizing center in-house, that we could also set up a digitizing center at a remote location, either at another Family History Library or at a place that partnered with the church to digitize their information. So we had a dual goal, set it up in-house and be able to set it up in a remote location. Right now, the books from the pilot project and the books that we will start to work on this spring are available from two places. First is from FamilySearch.org. If you go to FamilySearch.org and you search on the Family History Library catalog, this is what will return in your results. And if there's a red link like this in your record, then you know that there's a digital book available. You just click on that link and it takes you right to the book. The second way that you can access this collection is from the Family History Archive collection at BYU. From here, from this homepage, you can do a keyword search on surname, title, and author, or you can browse the collection. And this allows you to search across all 5,000 books. In addition, you can click here and do a full text search. The keyword searches search on the metadata only. But like I said, we've got 40-plus fields of metadata, so there's quite a bit of metadata to search on. Now I'm going to talk about the challenges and the solutions that we had to deal with and that we came up with for moving this production in-house. First of all, we had to find tools. Second, we had to deal with feature implementation. Third, we had to deal with book navigation issues. And fourth, with production challenges. These are the phases of production, and these remained the same, both in the pilot project and in the current project that we're setting up and that we'll be running. The sub-steps within these phases are what differs. There's fewer steps now than there used to be, and you don't see that represented here. Here you just see the overall explanation. There are three phases to producing the books. First is preparing the image. Second is preparing the text, and third is preparing the internet files. So here, these are all the steps for preparing the image. We convert the books to digital images, we split and crop the images, we despeckle and apply contrasts when needed. Preparing the text includes adding the metadata, verifying the metadata, and then making the digital book searchable. And then finally, preparing the internet files means generating and exporting the internet files in a Content DM ready format. Then we, separate from the software, we batch loaded the files onto the internet into Content DM, and then we had to manually archive and delete the files. Now the orange text here, this is the software or the vendor. That's how these steps were taken care of. This RTIV software is Panasonic scanning software, then Adobe Photoshop, and then we had an outside vendor do all of this processing. So our first challenge was to find the tools. Since the tools that we used belonged to and were licensed by BYU or the vendor, we knew that we couldn't use those anymore. We could certainly get our own licensing, but we did not have access to the vendor software if we ran this in-house. Another thing was that we wanted to run only one tool, if at all possible. We didn't want to have to license multiple pieces of software and train people on multiple pieces of software. We wanted to try to bundle it all together into one piece. This was kind of a dream that I really didn't think was possible, but I was hopeful about. So the solution became the COFAX Ascent Capture software. What happened was I love the word serendipity. This was kind of serendipitous. The church had purchased the COFAX Ascent software for some of its other digitizing needs, primarily in-house digitizing needs, like human resource forms, accounting forms, things like that. And so we thought, well, this might be a good place to look. This software was primarily used for documents, you know, forms and things like that. It was very technical software, but pretty easy to use. So we did an analysis, and I tested it and tried to figure out how we could use it for what we needed to do. And I found that it was very robust out of the box and that it was highly customizable by nature. A lot of its functionality is done in modules. So one task is done in a module, and if you want to do things in a different order, you just rearrange the modules. And it includes quality control checking modules, just pretty much everything that you could think of when you come to digitizing. So that did become our solution, and the church did already have some licenses for it. The look on this baby's face represents how I felt when I started trying to figure out how we could implement the features in this new software. I didn't know the software very well, although I had started to test it, but by the grace of God, quite literally, I was able to figure that out. First of all, we had a scanning issue. We were getting images from multiple places, overhead cameras, which were coming from the church office building, and also sheet-fed scanners and microfilm images from the vault. We also wanted to be able to scan directly into the software. The images that we were dealing with were 200 to 400 DPI grayscale images, so they were large. The second issue was cropping and splitting. A lot of the images that we got from the microfilm from the Granite Mountain Vault were two images per file. And when we put the files up on the internet, we only want one image per page. And there are technical reasons for that I'm not going to go into right now. But we needed to be able to crop off the black on the outside of not just the microfilm image, but of many images. and also split the file into two different pages. We'd been doing this in Photoshop, and it's quite time-consuming to do it, so we knew that we didn't want to do it that way anymore. Another issue was cleaning the files. If a book was old and it had a lot of speckles on it and the contrast was poor, we needed to be able to despeckle it and apply contrast to it. Once again, we'd done this in Photoshop. We knew we could do it, but we wanted to be able to do it in the software as well. Next was adding the metadata. This collection is very rich in metadata. Things not just like title and author, but we also include surnames and other information from the catalog. The descriptions from the catalog are also included, as well as some information about how the file was created, where it resides, file names, things like that. So we needed to, the ideal would be that the software could hit a database where this information resided, so that none of it, or very little of it, would have to be entered manually. Next was validating the page numbering. Page numbering is very important when it comes to a digital book. You can't have missing pages because then your internet users email you and say, how come page 3 was missing? When really page 3 was just a blank page and it didn't get included, but they don't know that. We actually had a case where someone emailed us, their genealogy information was on a missing page. And it turned out that the page was missing from the original book as well. So it takes quite a bit of research to go back, find the hard copy, or go back to the microfilm. Anyway, we wanted to just totally avoid that. And so we're doing page numbering validation. The next challenge that we had was creating text searchable files. We needed the software to be able to generate, to run OCR and then generate both single and multi-page PDF files. Then the software also had to create content DM-ready files, which included a single-page PDF, a multi-page PDF, and a tab-delimited text file that contained structural information that's needed by Content DM to create a book, and the rest of the metadata that we were pulling from the database. And last, but certainly not least, was the portability issue. We wanted to be able to, like I said before, set this up at remote sites or have other entities that are tied to the church be able to use it. Entities such as BYU, BYU Idaho, BYU Hawaii, and other family history libraries. So fortunately for us, the out-of-the-box software took care of scanning, adding the metadata, creating the text searchable files, and the portability issues. It really seems miraculous, but this is really some great software. We had to spec out customizations for some customized modules. First was Book Cropper, which will take care of the batch cropping and splitting. Image Processing takes care of the batch cleaning. Page Numbering Validation module takes care of the validating the numbering. And then the custom release script creates the Content DM ready files. The digital book navigation challenges were very real. Each hard copy of a book contains digital navigation information. For example, your hard copy book contains a table of contents. You take that for granted. It also contains chapter headings, and it also contains its position in the book. If you were to pick up a book and just thumb through it, you can see whether it's in the middle of the book or the beginning of the book or the end of the book. So you have some idea. Also, when you thumb through a book, you can see where the photographs are. You can't do that on a digital image, in a digital book. So the digital navigation needs are the same, but we have to meet them a little bit differently. And I'm going to show you an example of this. So this book is the page in this book, this is page 31 where these little girls are, and there's a photograph. If we were just to give you a quick and dirty list of the pages, it would look like this. And you would have no idea where there was a photograph. You'd just know that was page 31. So instead of doing that, we give you a digital table of contents that looks like this. It has a page number, a chapter heading, and a page heading that tells you this is a photograph. Let's say that this little girl, Maybelle, you knew that Ellen Day Smith had a daughter named Maybelle. Well, you could scan down this digital table of contents and see that there's Ellen Day Smith, and so you could go right to that chapter. So this part takes a lot of work. This is the most time-intensive part of the whole process. You have to look at every page, and I've created a worksheet here just to show you how it works. You enter the page number, the page heading, and the chapter heading. Then this information is entered into the COFAC software and then exported out so Content DM knows how to create that table of contents. I'd like to say that this software can be used for other things besides family histories. If you have other items that you want digitized, this software will be available to BYU. So you can set up and use it, and if you can get support from the Harold Bealey Library, you might be able to put it up on their Content DM website. The production challenges included that there were many steps in the production process. Time and costs were too high. We had a complicated folder structure and a complicated tracking system. So we reduced the number of steps by batch processing and increasing the automation in the software, as I've explained. We're going to use missionaries to produce the books. Because we're not using an outside vendor, we also control the timeline, where before we were controlled by the vendor's timeline. We've created a simplified folder structure and a simplified tracking system. So here's our production once again, but this time the orange text contains the module names. And once again, if you wanted to use this software, you just rearrange the modules and you can make it meet your needs. In addition, instead of us on the preparing the internet files, instead of us having to archive and delete the files, the custom script is going to do that for us, which we're very happy about. Just a quick progress report. The custom modules are being created right now. They should be done by the middle of April. We will be setting up at least two remote sites in 2007. One of those will be BYU. We plan on producing 10,000 books in the first 12 months. Whoops. We're housed by Live at Home. We're staffed by Live at Home missionaries, both full-time and church service missionaries. We estimate about 2 man-hours for an average book, and it's our facility is called the ODPC, the Orem Digital Processing Center. We're located in the church's Orem office out in the Old Word Perfect campus. We have 10 workstations, 6 different kinds of. We have 4 sheet-fed scanners and 2 overhead scanners. We're currently running during normal business hours, and we hope to start full production in spring 2007. If you're interested in volunteering, you can see your bishop or stake president for applications. That completes my presentation. Are there any questions? Yes.
It'd be very difficult to transfer this information into a more modern viewer that would flip the pages and so forth. That would allow you to view the book as a virtual book.
Yeah. I mean, if you know of such a viewer, yes, you can. You can have the custom script altered so that it can output whatever kinds of files you want in whatever format that you want. Yes. Yes.
What was the most challenging part or rate-limiting part of the process of the OCR index?
You know, probably the most challenging part is the file management. You have thousands and thousands of files to deal with. You have to set up a structure to deal with those. The OCR, that's easy. It's taken care of by the software. In fact, the OCR is so beautiful in this software. It's better than what we got from the vendor. It's just really excellent. So definitely the file management. Sir?
Have you found a way to preserve in your page indexes that you built the original book's page numbering, or does it have a different page?
That's a very good question. We do maintain the book's page numbering, and in fact, we usually improve upon the book's page numbering. You know, sometimes there won't be a table of contents in the book, so we add it. Sometimes there will be no page numbers in the whole book, so we'll add those. Sometimes part of the book won't be paginated, so we'll add those page numbers. So, yeah, when you go to the book, you should be able to navigate from the original table of contents, or it will be easier to use the book. Yeah.
Okay. Let's thank our speaker, Dan.